with interesting and intriguing greetings to all of Turdville. Turd Ferguson here with your Tuesday, October 7th podcast. Welcome back. Well, what an interesting day we had today, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say? There were only a handful of items that were up today. There were the bouncing back medals. Platinum up $11. Now, gosh, almost $70 off of its lows from Sunday night. Palladium up $21, $50 off of its lows from Sunday night. Gold and silver, gold up a little, silver down a little. But the big winner today, was the bond market, where the 30-year long bond surged to a new low yield for all of 2014. 305. It was just 3 weeks ago that we were at 335. And everybody said, oh, okay, finally. We told you the bond bull market was over back at the beginning of the year. But now we're really sure it's all over. And it was at a 10-year note yield of 262 that everybody was telling you, oh, this is certain to go back to 3 now because the Fed's normalizing their balance sheet. And blah, 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 blah. Well, as of right this instant, the 30-year long bond is back down to 305. Who was it that told you it was going to 3? Who was that guy? He wears a big yellow hat. And the 10-year note is down to 234.5, right at its 2014 lows of 234 seen the last week of August. Remarkable move and turnaround in the bond market. And when you couple that with the ongoing crush job in crude and what is beginning to be a rapidly deteriorating U.S. equity market, it appears that that deflation genie, that deflation bias genie that I've been telling you about now for the last 3 or 4 weeks, really is out of the bottle. In fact, this afternoon, one of my favorite Fed goons, Mr. Kosher Dakota, out of Minnehaha, Mr. Kosher Dakota was quoted as saying, and you'll see the link here in this podcast page, that it would be, quote, inappropriate for the Fed to raise rates in 2015. He also went on to say that he, quote, sees some decline in inflation expectations. Well, there's your first two salvos of more QE, more easy money, endless easy money to come. Not this normalization of balance sheet nonsense BS. Not happening. Now, the market can be anticipating that still, and that's obviously what's going on with all of the commodities and now the stock market going in the toilet, with the only thing up being the U.S. dollar and then obviously the U.S. Treasury market. That is that deflationary bias. What we are waiting for, you and I, my friend, obviously, is a trend change in the gold price. That will come when everybody starts to go, oh, yeah, the Fed's obviously has to react here, and the deflation bias goes away, and a big inflation money printing bias takes over. And that's when you get a massive short squeeze, rally, takeoff. Fed finally loses what credibility has left, perhaps. We'll see. But that moment, that day is coming, and sometime probably in the next 4 to 6 weeks even. Okay, so we've been talking about this. This is not a new theme. Obviously, you know that if you've been coming to this site and listening to these podcasts. But let's start today by once again looking at the long bond, not only in itself. As I said, we are now new 2014 lows in long bond yield at 305. Again, why would the long bond be rallying? In a deflationary environment, the real return on a 30-year bond at 3% is probably closer to 6% or more. In a deflationary environment, the real return of a 30-year bond at 3% is pretty damn good. And so the bond rallies. Look at these two charts. One, again, this is just the last 2 months of bonds in candlesticks and gold in bars. Again, when the deflationary trade really took off in earnest at the 1st of September, look, they were moving down one for one. Suddenly, 2 weeks ago, the bond turned and has rallied back over 4 points to a new high for that contract, the December bond contract. And, of course, gold has continued to drift lower. And then, of course, hey, you had to expect the next chart would be the one I've given you countless times. Well, I want to point out a couple of things here. I've busied up this chart a little bit. Hopefully not too much so that now it's incomprehensible. But there are a few things you got to look at. One, again, the relative gap between gold and the long bond, twice as large as it's been all year. Look at the shape and length of the latest blue oval on the far right side. But look at the other things I've added. One, the main divergence that has occurred since when? Since the plan to crush gold had to be stopped at 1345 back on July the 10th and the 11th. The meetings were held that week and said, we are going to attack. We're going to attack early and often this week, and this shit is over. We're starting right now. They had added 100,000 contracts, 300 metric tons of paper gold in 5 weeks, and they were at a breaking point until the plan was put in place starting on July the 14th to slam it down from 1345 because investment demand could not be allowed to return. Gold is down $160 in the days since. And this near one-to-one relationship, always reverting back to the mean between bond prices and gold, blew apart from that red oval on this chart. And now it's wider than it has been the entire time by two. Notice there's also a little blue rectangle in there. Again, that is showing what we looked at the last chart, that between September the 1st and September the 18th, they moved in tandem. Sure, gold prices were dropping, but so were bond prices. And then look at the reversal, and now the gap. Tomorrow's a big day for gold and silver. I told you that earlier. I'll tell you that again here in a minute when we wrap this up. Tomorrow's a big day. But let's first talk about the S&P next. Because again, the stock market is anticipating the Fed shutting off the spigot at the end of October. And thus, since when? Oh, about the same time the bond turned, middle of September, the S&P's gone from 2020 to a low of 1926 last week. Now notice that this chart looked kind of funny. Look at that final candlestick. I could not get the bar chart to update for today's close because the S&P was actually down 30 points today, more than 1.5%, went out on the day's lows at 1935. But again, I couldn't get this bar chart to update, so I updated it myself. The actual red candle is drawn in for you. As you can see, that is the lowest close in the S&P since early August. And we are now just barely holding above what held us support, 1926. That's that first black line last week. If we blow through there, if we close below there, there's no doubt in my mind we're going to 1905. Which is the lows from early August. And if we fail 1905, I don't see anything until 1870. And you think, okay, what's the big deal, turd? There's your next chart. That's the weekly chart of the S&P with that trend line that I've shown you countless times in the last couple of months. More recently, just a couple times last week. That's the most accurate line I can draw because it starts from late 2011 and connects all of those tails that hang down, mid-12, mid-13, early-14, and even last week. Now, it's possible, as you can see in that blue oval, for the S&P to break this line as I've drawn it. It's possible for it to even to close below that line on a weekly basis, which in that blue oval, you can see it did twice at the end of 2012. Of course, what happened in 2012? At the end of 2012 when that was happening. That was when the Fed was turning on the gas. That's when QE to infinity started. And so what happened? Boom! Stock market took off. If we close below this line, This is why we want to watch this line. This is why I'm trying to tie all this deflation thing together for you. We start closing below this line. We make it through 1920 and through 1905 and make a move to 1870. We're going to be way below this line. And at which point, the Fed's really going to feel pressure to act. Because if they don't, and if you got money in the stock market, you got a 401k, you might want to start thinking about moving some to cash. And you're not going to be the only one thinking that, and then it's going to be a rush to the exits all at once. Consider yourself warned. Okay, we've been talking about crude. I think the Fed set out, and the banks, they set out to sanction covertly Russia by crushing crude back from $108 back at the beginning of July. And they've really crushed it just in the last 6 weeks. I gave you this 30-minute chart. You see the update with the pennant on it. I gave you this yesterday. I updated a couple times a day, and you can see what's happened with today's close down near 88.80. We've broken out and down through that pennant. I can't imagine tomorrow we're not going to test the lows of last week, just north of 88. And frankly, you start looking at the weekly chart that's right next to that 30-minute chart. There's no reason for it to stop there. In fact, I don't see any, I guess, really any significant support for crude until you get down into that black rectangle, somewhere around 85. And if it fails at 85, it's going to 80. Whew. What would $80 crude tell you, not only about the deflationary bias, but this precious, charging, strong global economy? Pretty nasty stuff. Speaking of nasty stuff, you knew we had to get there. You probably already looked at this yourself. Look at these charts of the HUI. Just epically horrific. Just awful. New lows for all of 2014 today. The HUI went out at 186.71. New lows, new closing lows for all of 2014. In fact, if you look at the 10-year chart that I've given you that's next to that HUI chart, it's the lowest it's been since 2008. What was going on in 2008 last time? Yeah, the last time the HUI was down this far, great financial crisis. It's also down this far back in 2005. And now that we're down this low, just like when we took out 202 and you thought, well, there's no reason why it's not going to 190. Now that we've taken out 190, there's really no reason not to think the HUI's not going down to 170. 170, turd. Holy cow. Yeah, that's another 10%. Is that hard to believe? I mean, what's your EXK? I haven't even looked today. Let's just call it 440. Would it be hard to believe EXK would go to 4? No, of course not. Would it be hard to believe GOLD would go to 60? No. So is it easy to think that HUI could wash out and spike down like it did in 2008 to 160, 165, 170? Yes. It's not impossible to think that. Now, at the same time, and you've heard countless people come on my site that love the miners and say, but man, the leverage they provide when things are going up, you can hit singles, doubles, triples, quadruples, inside the park home runs, have a slugging percentage of over 1,000. Because in 2005, it bottomed out at 165, and by less than 3 years later, it was at 500. That is a three-time triple of your index. And in 2008, it bottomed out at 160. And 3 years later, it was 640. That's four times. Will it happen again? God, look, man. But can it? Does history show that from those levels? Bet your ass it does. I mean, you held in. If you own the miners, you've held in this far. Why would you give up now? God. Again. Yeah, you really ought to be thinking about what at what point, at what price level is it just ridiculously cheap that you've got to add to your miner positions. We're damn close. Damn close. We do know that yesterday was, in fact, a short squeeze to some extent. Gold was up $14 and silver was up 40 cents. And gold open interest declined by over 4,000. Silver open interest declined by 2,000. What does that mean? That means short positions were being closed out by buying them back. So it was a little mini short squeeze yesterday. And again, it is very encouraging that in the face of everything else going down today, gold and silver at least held in there. Now, maybe helped a little bit by the continuing rebound in platinum and palladium. But nonetheless, with crude down, with the stock market down, the hooey getting washed out because they're stocks, gold and silver hung in there. So when I mentioned earlier today, and also mentioned earlier in this podcast, that tomorrow was an important day, well, now all of a sudden you can see where tomorrow is an important day. I believe tomorrow also brings us the release of the actual FOMC minutes. I meant to look that up. Somebody had mentioned that on my site earlier. That sounds about right. I think it's been 3 weeks, and they usually do that on Wednesdays. Maybe that'll provide further impetus for making tomorrow an important day, regardless whether or not that happens. Tomorrow is a very important day. Why, turd? Because if you're looking for a bottom and a trend change, I want you to look at this daily gold chart. It's extraordinarily important. Do you see a couple of things on this gold chart? One, a red line at 1220. We know 1220, going back forever, is a support resistance line. 1240 would be the next one, but that 1220 right now is the most important one. And you'll recall, last week, I kept drawing you a black rectangle saying, look at this, every time gold dips down between 1205 and 1210, it finds support. And it continued to until it got washed out after the BLSBS with all the new shorting that came in on Friday. But now look what's happened since. Turn and recover yesterday and a further little recovery today that found again support in that black rectangle. If you want a bottom, if you want this to be the bottom here, we need to continue to consolidate and trend higher beginning tomorrow. If tomorrow the bottom drops out, meaning we just fall back through 1205 and we start trading with an 11 handle again, then the reversal of yesterday and the holding of the ground today was meaningless. Okay? But right now, what we're looking at on this chart right this very instant is a little puke washout capitulation that took place on Friday that was quickly reversed yesterday. And if we can hold 1205 overnight, if we can rally and hold our ground tomorrow and begin to make a move and, God forbid, actually close back above 1220 by later this week, we might be onto something, regardless of this deflation genie. So we'll see. Like I said, tomorrow, obviously, very important day. And silver, which looks, like I said, there's no reason to be optimistic, is trying to give us reasons for optimism. Yeah, it gave back 30 or 40 cents from its high overnight. Got right up to that 1760 level. That looks like it should be resistance, and it was. 1760 remains our target. But the washout last week, the washout of Tuesday, followed by the washout to new lows on Friday, but the reversal yesterday gives us hope that maybe we have seen the bottom. Again, the action of tomorrow, the action of Thursday, is going to be really, really important. We can begin to trade higher in silver just like gold. If gold can move up through 1220, if silver can move up through 1750 and 1760, we can start to feel like, hey, maybe we got a shot at this. And then if gold, the key level for gold is getting back above 1240. That was those lows from the end of May. For silver, obviously it's 1820, the lows of June last year. So if we get above 1220 gold and we get above 1760 silver, and then we extend those to 1240 and 1820, you know what? Then we can start feeling pretty damn good, at least for the short term. Again, all of this gets predicated on tomorrow's action. What's tomorrow? The 8th of October. Big deal. Doesn't mean anything. But you know, with the stock market washing out, with the bond market rallying to new highs for 2014, there's a lot going on underneath the surface. We're going to have to watch gold and silver really closely tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to give you a lot of clues. All right. With that, it is time to wrap this up. I mentioned yesterday that this week's A to A is going to bring back a very special guest who I'm so excited that that I know this guy, just so that you can have access to him. But this week's guest is Koos Janssen. Yeah, I know it, in Dutch it should be Koos Janssen, but Koos told me that he wants everybody to pronounce it Koos Janssen. So it's Koos Janssen. Anyway, you know Koos. I mean, he is a regular dude. Found himself laid up in disability and made himself an expert because he didn't have anything else to do. But he's the only person I know, only person in the world maybe, that took the time to make himself an expert in Chinese gold demand. And now he is. I mean, he's renowned. He'll be our guest in A to A. If you have any questions about the Shanghai Exchange, you know, the Shanghai Exchange being out of silver, how much gold flows through, does that equal Chinese demand? Does the PBOC buy through Shanghai? All this stuff. You want to know about this stuff? Now's the time to pose a question to Koos. You can sign up for the A to A by clicking the link in this podcast. Then you're definitely going to want to listen to that baby come Thursday. All right. Thank you for listening to me on Tuesday. Like I said, if you really want to have some fun, pay attention overnight and pay attention in the morning. If it's washing out, you'll know what the deal is. But if it's rallying, gold and silver, if they're holding and rallying, that's going to tell us a lot too. So, eyes peeled, my friend. Look sharp out there. And then come back tomorrow for another full day here in Turdville. A consequential day here in Turdville. Till we meet again, time to sign off. Gotta go cut the grass again. It's growing fast this time of year. This is Turd, and I'm out.